Morning, out of Acts chapter number 17, and I'm gonna preach out of the 12 verses, but I just want to kind of go down through here a little bit, maybe six verses or so. It says verse one out of chapter 17. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, I want to make sure I pronounce those right. They came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believe not, move with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Man, that's a statement right there. Let's pray. Father, we sure do need you now. Lord, I pray that you would help this message to be interesting, Lord, not boring. Lord, I pray, Lord, it would be something that we'd be able to apply to our lives daily. I pray, Lord, it'd be a help to somebody, a blessing to somebody. I pray, Lord, that you'd help those of us who've trusted you to grow closer to you. If someone is lost today, Lord, they see the simplicity of salvation that's found in you and you alone. I pray, Lord, that you would just help hearts, move us, dear Lord, to a closer fellowship with you. And we love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of constant moving. I hear people say, man, we're always busy. Or somebody say, man, you're always busy doing something. The thing is, we are living busier lives than I believe ever. But we're getting less done than we've ever gotten done. We've got enough technology to send somebody to the moon. Well, that's a whole different story. But we got enough technology to do all kinds of stuff. But we don't have enough sense to be able to walk safely on the sidewalk.
Amen.
Something's going on. We got technology all over the place, and people are dying on the information superhighway. I mean, you think about it. They're dying with all the knowledge they've got. People are so busy. Well, how do you balance out your busyness for the world? Because you gotta work. You got to make a living, you know. All right. How do you balance that out with being busy for the Lord? The thing is, I was thinking about rest. Rest is a good thing. Like, you ever thought about listening to music with no rest? It'd be like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It'd be something like it's rock and roll people listen to all the time now. You wonder why people are in a hurry. Hey, if I got my vehicle and listened to some of that stuff, I would have my foot on the pedal, man. You can forget me going slow. But I tell you this right here. Rest makes a music good. Having a rest, a break in that music is what makes the music. Well, you know what? In your life, you need some rest in between all the things that you're doing. You have to balance out your walk with the rest. Oh, I'll tell you something to help you. Just on a side note, I'm going to chase this rabbit just a second. Listen to you some classical music. I'm not joking. Balance out all that old junk with some classical stuff and see if it don't set your mind at ease. When you sit down at the house sometime, let's just say you're doing something at the house, or working around, maybe sweeping the floor. I don't know what you may be doing. But just listen to some classical music and see if that don't calm you down a little bit. You need to have something in your... You need to have a time in your life where you've got some calmness going on amongst all that busyness. The Bible said the Holy Spirit is like a river over in John 7, 38 and 39. He's constantly moving. Now, there's places in a river where that river is just flowing so much where that thing... You can just go on one of those wild rapid rides. You know, you get these things and you... But there's places in that river where it's just slowly going. It's just, you actually have to paddle through that thing. That's how it's supposed to be with your walk with the Lord. There's going to be places in your walk where you're just going just like a raging river. And then there ought to be places in your walk with the Lord where it's just smooth and you're going down through there just kind of easily paddling. Why? If you don't balance that thing out, you're going to burn out. You're going to burn out. It don't matter how much on fire, so to speak, you are for the Lord, how much you're starting to fall in love with the Lord. And some of you, I know some of you are growing. But you got to balance that growth out with some times of rest, or you'll burn out and you'll say, man, I'm just too tired to do anything. You've got to balance this thing out. And the thing is, if you don't keep moving, you're going to lose ground. I think about it in my mail route. I'll be going down through there. And if I'm not at a certain place in that day in the daytime, I think I'm behind. I'm normally here at 11:15. What is going on? And I know I've got to pick up the pace. Well, y'all, there ought to be places in your life where you know you can look and say, all right, I'm right here right now. I'm behind. Now you say, how can I tell if I'm behind? We're talking about balancing things out with the world and the Word of God. If you're to the place where you don't have time for the Lord and put the Lord first, you're out of balance.
That's right.
This week, if you look back on your week and you see, all right, I was right here and I hadn't even put the Lord in that thing, I'm running behind. The Lord should have came first.
Yes, sir.
We're out of balance. Now say, well, how's that supposed to help me? I tell you this right here, you'll dam up your river. You'll stop that river up. It's like you look, a river, as long as that thing is going steady and flowing, it's good. But you take a beaver dam, you can take a beaver, and a beaver can dam up a good river and mess that thing up. Everything on this side of where the dam started is everything is just out of whack. Nothing's fresh. You don't have any fresh water coming in. You know why you don't have any freshness in your life? A lot of you, if you've allowed a beaver dam, so to speak, to stop that moving up, it'll stop your life up, and man, then you wonder why ain't things fresh?
Yes.
Why do I just feel so dull? You look back somewhere and you've got a dam somewhere up through there, and you need to come through there with some dynamite and blast that thing out of there. You say, how do you do that? The Word of God, like a hammer, Jeremiah 23:29, breaketh the rock in pieces.
Amen.
That Word of God is the dynamite that comes through there and blasts that thing out of there and helps you get that river back going. Constantly moving. I want you to see something about the Apostle Paul here on these adventures. He's going through some of these things are run right through here, and I think it'll be a help to you. He has a constant moving about him, but it's balance. And here's some things that you can be constant about that'll help you. Number one, he had a constant concern. In verse number 3, he had a constant concern. I want you to see in verse number 3, his constant concern first and foremost was Jesus. The Lord Jesus. The Bible said in verse 3, he's opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again. He said, and that this Jesus I preach unto you is Christ. You know what he's doing? He's balancing his walk. The Bible said the oracles of God were given to the Jew. He's balancing Jesus on the oracles and not on man's opinions. Most people don't even know the Jesus of the Bible. They think Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes. Crazy. They think Jesus was a great big old sissy that come in there and said, you know, if y'all would, you know, I'd like for you just to kind of... That's not the Lord Jesus.
Right.
The Lord Jesus come in there, he was a carpenter, the Bible said in the book of Mark over there, and his dad was a carpenter too, but the book of Mark says he was a carpenter too. He had rough hands, y'all, he was working, he was able to relate to the common people. The Bible said the common people heard him gladly. He was a tough man, but at the same time, he was approachable.
Amen.
So don't get the idea that Jesus is just kind of just come around with his hat in his hands, you know, if you'll just do right, you know. And no, that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. He's somebody who a man's man could follow. Amen. Simon Peter and all those people weren't just a bunch of sissies. They were fishermen.
Amen.
And fishermen's a hard job.
Yeah, right.
And they forsook all and followed him.
Amen.
You got to realize something here. The Apostle Paul had Jesus balanced out, and that Jesus of the Bible has to be your Jesus too. It can't be the Jesus of the world and the world's opinions of him. Now, why am I saying that? Do you know the Jesus of the Bible? You think about this, and like I said, I'm not trying to stomp on you, but I got to go through these things before I even preach them to you. Y'all in business, can you give me 3 Bible verses on business?
Right.
You got children, can you give me 2 Bible verses on child rearing? You say, well, I like sports. Can you give me 2 Bible verses on sports? They're in there. There's Bible verses in there. Can you give me on what you like to do and what you're interested in, can you give me Bible verses for that? Now, why am I saying most of the world lives like an atheist.
Right.
They say, yeah, we believe the Bible, but they don't even know anything about the Bible. What I'm telling you, y'all, is we have to have the Jesus of the Bible, and Paul had Jesus first. That will keep you busy in life, making sure you balance your life out with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching them the Jesus of the Bible, and the thing is, he says, hey, the Lord came according to the Scriptures. Why? He's the Christ. I don't have time. I'm already losing time, but in Luke chapter 2, verses 31 to 33, talks about what all the Lord was going to do. And in John chapter number 4, he's witnessing to that lady over there, and she said, this is, we know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. So the Messiah is Christ. That's the same thing. They were looking, always since Daniel chapter 9, they were looking for the Messiah to come, the Messiah to come. And the Lord said, hey, that one that y'all killed and hung up on a tree, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. I'm preaching him to you. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He's going to those Jews and preaching to them Jesus. The Bible said he went up those synagogues and things like that. Don't you know that was uncomfortable?
Amen.
He got out of his comfort zone, y'all. You got to think about the Apostle Paul here. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I think it'll help. Look, the Apostle Paul was killing Christians.
Amen.
He had letters to go get more Christians out. Amen. And this man went from persecuting to preaching. Now, don't you know how that's like some of y'all, you may think, well, man, last week you wouldn't believe what I was doing last week and this week. If they wouldn't know what to think if all of a sudden I started to serve the Lord and started telling people about the Lord. You know what it'd do? It'd give the Lord glory is what it'd do.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul went from literally people were scared of him to, hey, this is the guy that's preaching Jesus Christ. Don't you know it give glory for all of a sudden, you know, here you are, you come to work, and they you know, you like Paul, you're known to just be a rough character, and all of a sudden you come to work and say, hey, just want to let you know I'm praying for you. What? Just kind of step back a second. That man said he's going to pray for me. You know what that'd do? That'd give God glory is what that would do. A lot of times we base things off of what we did last week or what we did a month ago and what they're going to think about. It don't matter what they think. Think about Simon Peter here. Now, I want to be a help to you. Lord, help me. Simon Peter went from cussing out a little maid. Now, have any of y'all, you think, well, I've been pretty bad. Have anybody of y'all cussed out a little girl the past week? I hope not. But here he is cussing out a little maid. He denied the Lord three times. Have any of y'all denied the Lord three times this week? I mean, said, I don't know him. All right, well then all of a sudden the Lord takes him. He said, Simon Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Now y'all, here it is. The devil's going to tell you and your flesh is going to tell you and the world's going to tell you, you can't go from doing this right here to the very next week serving the Lord. Yes, you can. Why? According to the Bible, you can.
Amen.
And you know what that'll do? If you put Jesus first, that'll keep you busy.
Amen.
That if keeping Jesus first is enough to keep you busy in your life. Why? Because it's hard because you got the world and your flesh and your devil and the devil telling you you can't do it and don't do it. They're not encouraging you. What I'm telling you is Paul's presenting them Jesus Christ. They didn't see the part about him suffering. Well, you read Luke 18, 31 to 34. He goes there and tell them he's going to die and he's going to be buried and he's going to raise again. They say, what are you talking about? Why? They couldn't see that. That was a mystery that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. That's as plain as a nose on my face in Luke 18, 31 to 34. What I'm showing you is he goes in there and says, hey, I need to straighten y'all out on some things. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks? They don't want to be straightened out just like the Sadducees and Pharisees. We've always been right. I'll tell you something I found out. There have been a lot of things I've been wrong on. A lot of things. And you know what that Bible, thank the Lord, you can get in that Bible and the Lord said, hey, I want to give you a chance on this thing right here. And if you will believe what that word says, I can help you. But if you won't, light rejected becomes lightning. What I'm telling you is he comes there, his concern, keeping him busy, is putting Christ first and talking about the Lord and presenting the Lord. Even though, yeah, he had failed, but the Lord still used him. Paul said this, I'm the chief. He told him over there, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, what's an Indian chief? That's somebody who leads people, right?
Yeah.
We just read about a chief over here. If you're the chief, he's saying, I was leading all the other sinners. He was of sinners whom I am chief. Well, guess what? He was a chief, and God still used the chief. Man, I tell you something. You don't have any. God rules out any excuse you might have for not serving the Lord. Why? All of us are in the same boat. All of us are bad. But guess what? If you'll yield to the Lord will use you. The Lord say, I can clean you up. Prodigal son, come in. He said, I want you to put a brand new ring on his finger. I want you to put a new robe on him. I want you to put brand new shoes on him. And I want you to kill the fatted calf. And in all these things, we're going to begin to make merry. I'll tell you something. You want something good, you just go to the Father and let Him bless you.
Amen.
Everything you want is with the Lord. The prodigal thought, I go out here and I'm going to find all this stuff. Everything he needed was back at home. You know everything you need is at home with Jesus Christ. Putting Him first, that'll keep you busy. Here's the second thing, is not only Jesus was His concern, but the Jews was His concern. Paul was sent to the Gentiles, but still, Paul said this in Romans 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know why he said that? He said, I'm just going to read this. I want to read this to you. Listen to this.
Amen.
I want it to help you, man. I think it helped me. In Romans 9, he said this, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Accursed. He wrote that. He didn't lie because it's in the Bible. He said, I would just wish myself accursed if they get right with the Lord. I tell you something, I hadn't arrived there. I hadn't arrived at that place. But Paul had got to the place where he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of his love for the Lord, it put his perspective of others right. You know why we don't have a right perspective of others a lot of times? Because we don't have a right perspective of Jesus. When you put Jesus first, it'll put your perspective of others right. He got that perspective of others because he was putting the Lord Jesus Christ first so he could see clearly how to help other people. You know why Paul was so used, so right? Because the thing is, he knew, yeah, they had rejected him. Yeah, I got scripture written down in early Acts under that kingdom gospel. They rejected three times, Acts 4:15-18, 5:17-18, and chapter 7 at the stoning of Stephen, verses 54-59. I'm just trying to show you this grace right here. They rejected three times under that, and then three times after Paul goes, he gets the revelation of the mystery, he starts going out here, and they reject it in Acts 13:44-46, and chapter 18, I can't tell if it's a 6 or 8, but 5-6, and chapter 25-28. What am I telling you? They rejected all, they just kept rejecting the Lord.
Amen.
And Paul's saying, hey, I got a burden for them. I got a burden for him. I want to see him get saved. Now, you say, well, Paul was greatly used. Yeah, but let me tell you this. You can be greatly used, but if you don't have a burden,
that's right.
What's he going to empower you for? What I'm telling you is we got some good folks here, and I know good folks at other churches that I like being around, but you know one thing I'm seeing about church folks? We've lost our burden to see people get saved.
Right.
The burden of, and look, Amen. There's a lot of things we can't do. But let me ask you this. Have you prayed for any of your lost relatives to get saved this week?
Amen. That's right.
We said, man, we got a burden. Man, I tell you what, that's not too bad. I'd hate for you to have a burden for me on something. Y'all, we got to realize Paul was used. I hope all of you want to be used. But if you want to be used and empowered from God to be of use, well, you imagine having all that power that God could give you, not doing anything with it. It's kind of like a kid having a Corvette. He said, what's that boy going to do with that Corvette? He can't even drive. Why would I give that boy that souped up car? Well, what I'm telling you is this right here. Why would God entrust us with all God's power? And you're just going to get out there and burn donuts in the highway out here. Do nothing with it.
Amen.
What I'm telling you is this. I'd like to see all of you have power to serve. But the thing is, if we're not yielding to the Lord and having a burden on our heart, what good you going to do?
Amen.
Y'all, we've got to realize something. Paul was patient and persistent, and others got to see that you're being patient and persistent. Now, what I'm saying is this. I read a story about Calvin Coolidge, President Calvin Coolidge. He was in a meeting one time, and they were talking about, you know, who they were going to get to nominate for president. And there was one of the people that was in the meeting, their daughter was in there, and evidently he was real quiet. So he wasn't saying anything, and so anyway, he left, and they said, I don't know. I don't think that guy would do a good job. I don't think at all. And the little girl said, I think he needs to be president. And they said, well, why do you think he needs to be president? She said, well, I had a hurt finger, and he was over here putting a Band-Aid on my finger and helping me with it, and none of y'all said anything about it. You know what? That little girl didn't care what his nomination was. That girl didn't care about him being president. All she cared was that he cared.
Amen.
I read another story about a lady. She was going to a large post office, and evidently they had one of these stamp machines in there where they could weigh it out. And they said, hey, you don't need to stand this long line. You just go over there. And she said, no, that machine's not going to ask me how my family's doing. You know what? When you're at work, and you may not realize just you asking somebody, hey, how you been doing? You don't realize how far that goes. Some of y'all in this room, I'm looking at you, and you don't even know how much of an encouragement to me you've been. Just saying, hey, how's everybody doing? Or, hey, I just want to tell you, so-and-so was a blessing or something. That puts a little wind in your sails and keeps you going. Look, I know y'all have gotten encouragement from somebody. Don't think that it's just you got to do some great, big, major thing. You just saying, hey, how you doing today? Y'all, just little things go a long way. Amen. Encouragement. Paul was concerned about these people here, and he had enough concern to be patient with them, even though, hey, they believe all kind of crazy stuff.
Amen.
They were rejecting. He said, hey, I want to be patient with them. I'm going to be persistent with them. Y'all, we're going to be patient and persistent with each other. Well, if y'all are anything like me, you get on people's nerves. People get on your nerves real quick, man. I mean, you get around some folks and you think, what in the world are they thinking? Well, y'all may be thinking like that about me, but you know what? Paul was being persistent and God used him. That will keep you busy. You know what's going to keep you busy as far as keeping your river flowing? Keeping in touch with God so you can keep being patient and persistent with other people with all the junk that we all got going on. He said, oh, son, you don't know what all they got going on. Yeah, and no telling what all you got going on too. All of us have to have a constant concern with the Lord Jesus, and like Paul did with the Jews, people who may not even love you or even love your same Lord, but be patient with them so you can try to help them.
Amen.
All right, here's another thing. He had a constant conflict. Y'all, if y'all are anything like me, you got a constant conflict going on. It's constantly something. You know what? As soon as you get through this thing, you got something you got going on. Every one of you got something going on. You know what? Bad news, it's going to get worse. You know what? You're gonna get through this thing and another thing's going to take its place. Why? That's how it is on earth. But guess what you can do? You can go through it with the Lord and keep a good attitude about it. The thing is, you can't help but get other people involved, number one. Here, verse number 5. Paul goes through here and he gets involved with this fellow named Jason, and the whole house it gets involved. Everybody gets involved. The thing is, what I thought about this is, what are you interested in? Why? Because you're going to involve other people, good or bad. I read some stuff. I was trying to find some biblical illustrations on getting people involved and stuff, and I was reading through the book of John. Talking about getting people involved for good or bad. In John chapter 1, these people are going and talking about the Lord and meeting the Lord. It says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which he is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. All right, here's the first guy. Andrew goes, and the first thing he does is his life leads his brother to Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, the next thing you say, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. Watch this. And saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, don't you know you got these small towns? Can there be anything good come out of Ashley? can anything? That's kind of what he's saying. Nothing's in Ashley. Well, guess what he said? He said over here, Philip saith unto him, come and see. You don't have to know a whole bunch of theology. These people didn't know the doctrines and all. All they did is, hey, just come and see. You know what you got to do? I'll just tell them what you know. And guess what? As you, the Lord will show you more, and the Lord will show you a little bit more here than yonder. But what I'm trying to show you is this right here. Each one of these individuals, the direction they were going, the life they were living, led others to Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all, people are trying to get to Jesus Christ all kinds of ways. Oprah Winfrey says, well, you know, you can just get any way you want to. Now, you think you could get to heaven flying backwards to Jupiter with water wings? You couldn't do that, could you? You think you could ice skate backwards to Mars? No. You can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the only way. And like we talked about in Sunday school, Ellen DeGenerate and all the rest of them can say whatever they want to about getting to heaven. But Jesus says He's the way. You know what I'm trying to show you here is His constant. He had a constant conflict getting other people involved. You're going to get other people involved what you're interested in. This morning, thank the Lord, you brought people to church, and here you are sitting by folks you love. Guess what you've done? Your life is leading somebody else to Jesus. I know y'all invite people and stuff. Y'all, that's what you want. That will keep you busy in a good way.
Amen.
What? Trying to live your life in a way to where you're yielded to the Lord, and that life will lead somebody to the Lord. These men's lives, I read you, they led others to Jesus that they cared about. Now, we're either going to lead people to Jesus or away from Jesus. You say, was there anybody that had some bad example? Yeah, you're going to have some bad examples in the Bible. I read one in 2 Samuel 13, verse 3. It said, but Amnon had a friend. Uh-oh. It said, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a subtle man. First thing you read in Genesis was the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. You know what that man did? That man was Amnon's friend, so to speak. Shows you can have good friends and bad friends. And that man ended up leading his so-called friend into doing something that led him to die. You read the story about it. I'm not even going to go into detail about it. But it led him to death. What I'm telling you is, lust bringing forth sin bringing forth death. That's LSD. That's the devil's drug. People say, what's the world's on? The whole world's on drugs, man. Lust, sin, death, LSD. Just get you just off, way off out yonder somewhere. Well, you know what? What I'm trying to show you in the Bible is if you want to, everybody wants happiness now. You don't find happiness by looking for happiness. Happiness is found on the road to doing that which is right. You're going to find what you're looking for. People say, well, I always run into this, that, and other. You can take two people and they can go to the Walmart parking lot. And one person can find a Christian because that's what he's looking for in his heart. Another person, that same parking lot, can find a drug dealer. Why? Amen. Because that's what they're looking for.
Right.
If you're looking for right, you'll find right.
Amen.
You know what the trouble is? A lot of us, we don't want that which is right. You think about the foundation being on Jesus Christ. When you let the Lord Jesus be the foundation, He can bless the thing. But anything that's not on the foundation of Jesus Christ will fall apart. It's on the Bible. Whoa, I nearly messed up. You see that? It's on seeking sin. Y'all, Brother Paul got a kick out of that. But what I'm showing you is this. Y'all, you got to watch this thing. Why? You're going to get other people involved, and you can get them involved in your bad emotions. In Acts chapter 17, verse number 5, y'all, we got to watch. I tell you something, this really gets our society today. People don't watch their emotions at all. Just fly off at the handle, man. That verse number 5, it says, but the Jews which believe not move with envy. You know what they did? Envy is an emotion. They couldn't control their emotions. So you know what people do now? They just start crying. Just at the drop of a hat. There's nothing wrong with crying. Y'all know that. Nothing wrong with laughing. But y'all, if I stood up here and went, nothing funny. Nothing funny about that. But you know what? People just, they don't realize that your emotions need to be filtered through the Bible. Why? You know laughing at stuff you ought not laugh at is a sin. And if you're crying at things you ought not be crying about, that's a sin too. Well, look, I know people who will use their emotions to get what they want.
Amen.
A lot of people know that they can cry at the drop of a hat to get what they want. You know what they do? They use their emotion, just like these Jews use their envy to get other people to go against Jesus Christ. You know what we do oftentimes? If you don't have temperance, that's one of the parts of the Holy Spirit. It said love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know why I believe temperance is last? I believe it's mentioned last because it's the hardest thing to get. Keeping yourself in self-control where you're actually able to control your emotions.
Amen.
Just get mad and knock everything off a table and everything. Well, you're going to lead other people to do the same thing.
That's right.
You know what? You can create a bad environment by not controlling your emotions.
Amen.
We've got to get to the place where you got control of yourself. Why is that? You can lead people either to Jesus or away from Jesus, and keep trying to get that temperance is enough to keep you busy all the time.
Yes, it
is. It's enough to keep you staying busy all the time. The thing is, we want to gather people for the Lord with what He's given us, not away from the Lord. Here's another thing. Your relationship may be insulting. Verse number 6, it said of that they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down." Well, you don't have to wait on people and things to turn up. All you're just supposed to turn them up yourself. People say, "I ain't got nothing to do." Well, guess what you can do? These right here turned the world upside down while the world was being run by the devil. And they didn't like the fact that their demonic system was being turned upside down. Guess what? When you turn the thing upside down, if I had a bucket and I turned it upside down, all the junk, whatever was in it, going to fall out.
Amen.
Well, you know what happened? They said, "Hey, turned everything upside down. We're going to have to clean up after all this mess." What's going on? He's showing what was inside their heart and everybody else's heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Sometimes the Lord will do this. He'll allow your life to be turned upside down to show you what was in it and say, "Look, all that stuff was no good anyway. I need to refill that thing with some good stuff." You know what? It don't hurt us every now and then to get our world turned upside down, so God can refill it with what He wants to fill it in. Some of the best blessings I've ever had in my entire life was when something bad happened and God says, "Hey, I didn't even want you in that situation anyway. You were in a bad situation. That person was bad for you. Those were bad friends around you. And now I'm going to fill it with some folks that love the Lord, some people that love you, and some time that I actually be well spent." And I thank God for that.
Amen.
I thank God for that. Now here's another thing too. They were insulted, but I tell you what, they were insulted in the wrong way. Sometimes it's good to insult folks if it's a good thing. Here's the last thing I'm trying to close. His encouragement was constant. I tell you something. These things right here encourage me, and I think they ought to encourage you. If you look at verse 11, after all these things happen, Acts 17, verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." You know what happened? The word was received. That's encouragement. That the fact that the word was received, the thing is, they checked out Paul. Y'all, that's why I think y'all ought to check a preacher if something said. If I say something wrong, I don't mind. I'm not going to mind if you wait till the end of the service and say, "Hey, you may have got that verse wrong or something." I'd be glad to talk about it. I want to teach you what's right, and if I'm teaching you what's wrong, I want to know.
Amen.
Well, they checked on the Apostle Paul. It's okay for you to check on preachers. Some of this stuff people say, "Oh, so-and-so said, well, you know, we talk in tongues at our church." What for? What in the world for? Well, don't you talk. No, I got enough trouble with the tongue I got. Much less a whole bunch of other ones. People say, "Well, why don't y'all do all these and pass off and play it around 50 times, all this stuff?" Because the Bible doesn't say that. You have to check things with the Bible. Well, otherwise you put yourself in bondage.
Amen.
They checked on the Apostle Paul. He was encouraged by the fact that they received the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know what encourages me? The fact that y'all get a blessing out of God's Word.
Amen.
Sometimes y'all say something, "Man, that verse that you said helped me." Why? I don't have anything to say, but I can tell you what the Bible said. And the Bible, the Word, the living, breathing Word of God can help you.
Amen.
You know what I know that can help y'all in y'all's life? The Word of God.
Yeah.
Why? Because look, I one of these days, I'm going to kick off out of here. You know what? The Word of God is going to abide forever.
Amen.
This little preacher is going to be gone with the Lord, but that Bible's still going to be here, and the Bible's still going to go. So guess what? That Bible's going to be what lasts forever, and that Bible's going to be what helps people. That's what we... And it encouraged Paul. So you say, what's going to keep me busy on that? Searching the Scriptures all the time. You know what keeps me busy? I'm constantly searching them Scriptures.
Yeah.
Somebody say something, I had a guy tell, I'm still searching. Some of that stuff, I think even God says, "I didn't know that was in there." Why? Because it wasn't in there. Y'all, people got some of the craziest ideas, but you know what I do? I go home and check it. And just see if it's not in there, say, "Well, he was wrong, the Bible's right, and he's wrong." That's all you have to do. Look, the word was received. Now, here's one I like before I get in this last. I'm trying to close. Lord, help me. There was this guy. He was an old preacher back in the 1800s or early 1900s. But his name was D.L. Moody. And he was a good preacher. But what was happening was a lot of people who were listening to him were getting to where they were taking his word over what the Bible, because he said, hey, I'm learning. He said, man, I'm learning here, and some of the stuff I was teaching earlier was wrong. So he had another preacher come into his church, and a lot of people were there. He sat right in front of that preacher. And guess what? All his students and everybody else is behind, and people that was going to his church, and that preacher's preaching. He said, oh, something will be said. He said, that just ruined one of my sermons. And the preacher will be preaching. He said, oh, there went another one. You know what he's showing? The Bible is right and I can be wrong.
Amen.
They searched the Scripture and said, uh-oh, Brother Moody was wrong on that. I want y'all to know all the time that the Bible is the final authority, and what God says through the Bible is right. Why? Because if they search the Scriptures then, it's going to keep you busy enough checking on all the stuff that goes on. That's why we've got it. And it'll give you encouragement and keep you busy. Here's the last thing. Many repented. Many repent. Verse number 12, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and men, not a few. You say, what is repentance? It's changing your mind. You say, well, it's just repenting of all my sin. You didn't repent of all your, you can't remember all your sin. Can you remember every time you lied, every time you got, the Bible said all men are liars.
Amen.
You repent of your sin. Now you say, what's the sin? You know the sin will send you to hell is unbelief. Murder don't send you to hell. Drunkenness don't send you to hell. Lying don't send you to hell. You know what sends you to hell? If you die without Christ, you'll go to hell.
Amen.
Now, you know what encourages me is repenting keeps you busy. You know how you know? The Bible said in Genesis 6, verse number 6, just listen to this. It said, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Grief is connected with repentance. But look, God hadn't done no sinning. So when he repented, he's changing his mind about making man. And he's saying, hey, I'm grieved at this thing. You know what you can do? It'll keep you busy. Repenting. It's saying, Lord, I'm changing my mind about what I was doing. I was wrong on that. I'm grieved. Why? Because I'm grieved because the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. You know what will keep you busy? Lord, I was just wrong about what I said the other day. Lord, I want you to know I want to change my mind about that thing. You help me to live right. That will keep you busy.
Amen.
That's enough to keep you busy all the time. Now, I want you to know that. How come? Because y'all, you can always repent. A lost person can repent. Pharaoh repented, died, went to hell. He said, I have sinned this time. Balaam repented, died, went to hell. Saul repented, died, went to hell. Look, you can change your mind about a thing. But us as Christians, once you've trusted Christ, I repent. The song says, I repented of my sins and won the victory. I repented of my sin. But let me tell you something, I still sin every day. And I couldn't even remember all the sins I committed whenever I trusted Christ. So you know what you do? You repent of your sin. The Bible said Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
So you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Now how many I did, Lord, I don't know, but I know I'm a sinner. I'm trusting what you did and what you did alone. And guess what he'll do?
Amen.
If you'll trust what he did, you come to him a sinner, he provides the Savior. It's that simple. Y'all, we've got to get that thing down right, because a lot of people have got this idea of repentance wrong. And if you don't get that thing right, look, you can't remember everything, but you can spend a lifetime serving Christ of repentance, saying, Lord, I was wrong about that. I'm changing my mind. I want to do right. Help me. Why? Because you're not going to repent anyway. You're not going to get that thing right unless the Lord helps you. You can't do it on your own. You got to come to him and receive the truth, and then he'll give you that ability to be able to repent. He'll say, I'll work in and through you, and you can get this thing. What I'm trying to show you is there's a way to balance things out. To balance things out and keep busy a godly way. Why? Because look, I'm busy enough trying to do the things of the world. But if you'll do these things, what Paul did there, it'll help you in your constant daily struggles, and you'll know, hey, I'm doing something that's biblical. I'm spending my time in a way God wants me to. Now, here's the conclusion of the thing. What are your activities leading others to? Are they leading to Jesus or to bad things? Here's another thing, too. Would somebody be better off from meeting you? Now, I'll tell you something. That gets me. When you meet somebody, are they better after they met you, or are they worse after they met you? Whenever somebody gets involved with you, let's say you become friends with somebody, in a relationship with somebody in some kind of way, are they better off after having met you and got with you and become friends with you? Are they better off, or are they better off before they met you? I'll tell you something, man. You get to think about it. Wow, we want to be somebody that helps other people. Give them a hand up, not a hand out, so to speak, but try to help people along and be a good influence on them. And our lives lead them to Jesus. I'll tell you something. That'll keep you busy. Why? Because the whole world, flesh, and the devil is trying to get you to go right opposite of what I just told you. God, give us grace to do it. Let's pray. Father,